Chuck, while you're still up there, report to us on agenda item 20, report and possible discussion on risk-based capital management update by Chuck Wolf, Technical Services Manager.
Okay, so I'll make this pretty quick. So we instituted a risk-based capital management process late last year, really as an opportunity to do some visioning of where we wanted to go. Really, there's three objectives with respect to this initiative. The first one is to improve our decision-making on asset renewal through improved prioritization of assets across the BRA. Second one is to develop a reliability-centered maintenance program to maximize the impact of available operating funds. And then the third is to improve long-term capital forecasting through improved assessment of renewal needs. So how do we go about this? In general, the process for this is pretty straightforward. Where it gets challenging is in the details. So what we want to do first is we want to assess the condition of our assets and then their criticality, or what happens if they were to fail. From that, we can build two sets of risk profiles. The first one is a relative risk by asset. So we can actually, because we have a consistent measurement system, we can look at every asset and say what one's risk is in comparison to others. We can also use that information to build a profile of risks across the BRA that we can manage from the board level through the staff on how we want to manage going forward, what our general risk profile is. From that information, we can prioritize projects for asset renewal so we can hopefully lower that risk profile. And then we can manage also our long-term capital forecasting because we'll have better vision on the things that need to be replaced well into the future. So in order to set this up, you have to have a good way of measuring risk. So the industry standard for this is to look at three variables. The first one is the likelihood of failure. And by that, we look at the condition of the asset. We look at its physical condition as well as its operational condition, trying to assess things such as the mortality or when it's going to actually fail, its capacity, availability. Is it obsolete? So even if it's performing well, if something were to go wrong, can we get replacement parts for it or can we actually maintain it? And then is it accomplishing the level of service that we expect it to, accomplish? That factor is multiplied by the consequence of the failure. So you think about likelihood of failure as a probability. Think of consequence of failure as an impact. So we look at economic factors, regulatory factors, and organizational factors. I will tell you when we get to this point, this will be something that there will be a lot of discussion among staff and probably among you as far as how we want to establish some of these factors because they are organizational leadership type things to look at. And then we look at the redundancy because most engineered systems are not designed to where they have the minimum amount of units that they need. They usually have some level of additional units embedded into them. So if you have three pumps operating and you need three, that's a redundancy of one. But if you have four pumps and you only need three, then that redundancy actually reduces your relative risk for those assets. So we want to be able to measure that. That information gives us a risk score. We can plot out the risk score. Actually, what was done on CASEL was a plotting into a table similar to this. We can plot it, or we can actually use the math and put it into programs and use that for prioritization of assets. From the risk score, we can start to assign CIP groups, everything from an immediate, what we'd want to repair and replace in the next 1 to 5 years, to the long-term, replacing repair and replacing in a 20-year window. This is where the long-range financial planning gets incorporated into the process. And we use different business rules, which we have not formalized yet, but we will formalize as part of the process going forward to help us make the assignments to the CIP groups. And once we have that, we can discuss the projects that would be applicable to that. So some updates from when we discussed this in January. First one is that we've selected David Jones. David, stand up. So David is going to be our capital improvements planning administrator, help us actually drive this initiative forward day to day. David's had a long career with the BRA, very successful career. One of our project engineers was our engineering services manager, was actually the interim technical services manager before I came in. So really excited to have him helping us guide this process and looking forward to him bringing his knowledge of all of our facilities to help us do it really well. We've also established some initial asset hierarchies for the dams, for the wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants. What the hierarchies do is they allow us to assign those criticality information to groups of assets as opposed to every single asset. Right now we have 4,786 assets in our database. We don't want to assign that information to every single one. We'd like to assign it at a little bit higher level. Otherwise, we'd go insane. We've also done some work with, met with peers. So Tarrant Regional Water District has done a lot of this work. Trinity River Authority has done quite a bit of this. Even one of our customers, City of Sugar Land, has gone through a significant process for asset management. So we met with them and discussed how their deployments have went, things that they've learned, and tried to incorporate that information into our plans going forward. So some next steps, we need to get to the serious part of developing and deploying the program. We've done about all we can do with our internal staff time and resources. So we do have an RFP that's out to help us get some consulting support to really help drive this forward and accelerate it. So the point here would be to finalize our asset list for inclusion in the program, develop condition assessment criteria, develop the level of service and criticality guidelines that we're going to use for measurement of risk, and then develop those business rules I talked about that we haven't really formalized yet so we can prioritize assets into projects. And then once we have some of the information put together, we want to go through a piloting process. We've selected Day Cordova Bend Dam because it's the dam that we're not doing a lot of other investigations at, or we're not completely upgrading the equipment at right now. And then the East Williamson County Water Treatment Plant, because that's the only facility that we own and we operate. So we'll use our pilots at facilities where we can get the biggest bang for the buck for us long term. And then also the work here would support our asset management integration into N4 as that time comes on. So one last thing I'll say, and then I'll take any questions you may have. It's very interesting as we've talked through these initiatives, we have multiple things going on that all use the same data, and it comes down to risk data and understanding of how risk applies organizationally. So one of the great things about the risk-based capital management, or asset management as it's typically called in the industry, is it's going to give us really critical information that we can use to better plan our capital projects and when we need to do capital projects. That's one of its core functions. But it's also going to help us with our project leadership and management initiative, because it gives that upfront information, the why of why we're doing projects and what the ultimate objectives are, not simply delivering a project on a budget and a schedule, but what the ultimate objectives are to be achieved. It's also going to play into our security initiatives. So one of the key things about security, cybersecurity, physical security today, is to have a very good risk understanding of your risk posture, what your risk needs are. That information can be improved with this data. And then finally, our integrated water resource planning that Jim mentioned earlier, we'll also be able to use this information, because we do have a number of assets that have a redundancy of one, and they're critical for moving water around around the basin. So we want to make sure that when we consider, in an integrated water resource planning perspective, the impact of those assets, that we use the data we're using from this process to help that too. So this is integral to a lot of things that we're doing as the authority now and into the future. With that, I'll take any questions.
Would you mind rolling back to page 7? Yeah. Obviously, what we're trying to do is have an asset management system, right, on an ongoing basis. Are you going to have, as part of this, a method of documenting your that your infrastructure assets are being preserved at or above the condition level that's been prescribed as a result of your studies? In other words, you can have an ongoing, you know, here's our service levels, here's the level we're going to maintain at, and all this other stuff. This can be done, not just, okay, here's a snapshot, but on an ongoing basis. That's the ultimate goal.
That is absolutely the ultimate goal. Yes.
So you can have some sort of prediction then of the cost necessary to maintain the system and not have some sort of catastrophic issue like this other folks did with the wooden gates or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the case. So one way to think about this is sort of a new way of doing business for any agency that puts this in place, because if you don't keep the data up to date, it's not really valid.
Yeah, and acted upon.
Correct.
Budgeted against, and so now you know what your whole shivery is going to be going down the road.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Good enough.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.